Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always
Word of Life.
So, Father of Light, we come before you today. We just ask that in the midst of all that we face, that your promises of presence, that your promises of providing, that your promises of giving us clarity, whatever our life is to look like, would be so resounding, so vibrant, and so apparent in what we hear, but also in what we do. So God, today, help us be mindful of you. Help us to hear what you would say to us today through the power and presence and voice of your Holy Spirit. What we hear, give us the courage and the strength to lean into you so that your kingdom may come more fully through us on earth as it is in heaven. May all this be for your honor and glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about hope. We've been talking about that firm foundation that we build our life on, that solid rock, if you will. And we've made the claims that the reign and rule of Christ, that Christ's in control, Christ is the king, is one of the things that is trustworthy, one of the things that will stand firm no matter what's going on in the rest of our government or political world and all of those things. We've also made the claim that the wisdom of God is greater than our wisdom, that his ways are higher than our ways, that his thoughts are greater than our thoughts, and that we lean into his understanding, not in our own understanding, that that's the place where we establish our hope. Before we dive into today's kind of defining attribute and feature of God, I want to make sure that we're all kind of on the same page of what Christian hope is. I don't know about you, but I like to just make sure that a term and a phrase that I throw around, that I know exactly what it means, because for me, most people that I talk to, when they say, I hope something, they're talking about kind of wishful thinking. I hope it rains this afternoon. I hope it doesn't rain this afternoon. I hope Phil and your favorite team wins the ball game today. It's kind of that just kind of wishful thinking. But this is not what the Bible means by hope. When we talk about Christian hope, we're not talking about wishful thinking. The Bible defines hope as confident expectation. Confident expectation. So if you're sitting outside in front of the cross there in our plaza, you might notice down at the base this verse from Romans 15. It's Romans 15, 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, what we're talking about in Christian hope is an assurance. It's something solid. My hope is built. It's trustworthiness from God himself through his Holy Spirit. And what we're going to talk about today, and as we move through this, is how that kind of hope gives us joy and peace in our lives. So, do you hear the difference? The way people usually use the word hope is not filled with certainty. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope that it happens the way I want it to happen. Christian hope is saying, I know what God has promised, and he has promised that something is going to happen, and I'm going to put my trust in that promise. There is certainty in Christian hope. Christian hope is established when God proves himself trustworthy. Great is thy faithfulness, we sing, and we trust the Lord. Hope is very intertwined with faith. In fact, hope is kind of like faith in future tense. We trust in what is yet to come. We hope because God has said it will come to pass. So why is it that hope is so important? Why is it that this hope is what we lean into to offer us security and peace and joy? Think about your life. Think about what your life is like or would be like if there was no security in your life. I mean, what is it like going to work every single day knowing that you may be laid off that day? Is there peace and joy in that? What is life like when you've got a medical condition and you don't have a diagnosis yet? Is that a time of peace and joy? Well, what about this whole season that we're in that is so uncertain about when things will open, when things won't open, and how I should be, and what will happen? It makes us restless and chaotic. It doesn't offer us peace. I can't imagine what it's like to be a foster child, bouncing around from foster home to foster home to foster home, just wanting somebody along the way to say, you're worthy enough that I want you to be a part of my family for the rest of my life. What's it like for a baby to cry and cry and cry and no one to ever come? These insecurities, these uncertainties, and 100,000 million more can cause so many reactions in us. That kind of uncertainty can cause paralyzing fear in our lives. Well, what if my child's lost? What if I can't pay my bills? Well, what if they never come, the baby thinks? And in that place of paralyzing fear, you can hear how that quickly leads to what? Worry and anxiety. Another reaction is, it's shown. I use that baby example because if babies don't get really early in their life the trust that when they need something that somebody couldn't, that is a lifelong trauma that they have to deal with. Or the other extreme, if you don't go the paralyzing fear route, the other extreme is, I'm going to take control. I'm going to make sure that everything works out the way it's supposed to work out, because no one and nothing is really trustworthy. It's up to me to create the stability and the certainty that's needed. We know the saying, if you want to get something done right, you got to, that's right. And you put it all on your own shoulders. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put something on your shoulders? Have you ever tried to be the savior of the world and fix it all? That may lead to some determination for a while, but I don't know about you, but when times when I've done that, I realize really quickly how inadequate I am to pull it off, which then just throws me back into insecurity and uncertainty. Now, with all that going on, with all that fear and that worry and that anxiety, and even that trying to be in control ourselves, we get so focused on ourselves. We get so focused on what's in front of us. We get so focused on trying to provide for our family. We get so focused on trying to control and secure our future. We get so fixated on our problems and what we're trying to solve or our conditions of life around us. And then we have somebody like me stand up and say, you should love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And you're going, I'm just trying to make it to the end of the day, trying to control and get over all these anxieties and worries. I don't even know if there's space in my world to love God. And when we're like that, when life is that uncertain, when we're that worried, when we're that fixated, it's really hard to love our neighbors too. It's really hard to be generous. It's really hard to trust. I don't know if you have ever done this in your entire life, and this is really an oversimplified example. Have you ever written out a check to the church? The first check you wrote of the month, right after you got paid, because you just knew there was something inside of you that knew that you wanted to give to God first. But instead of taking it to church, you slipped it back in your pocket, just in case. Just in case I need that money a little more than God does. And that I don't run out of money before I run out of months. Romans 15:13 that I read. Do you remember what it said? When we have hope, we have joy. We have peace. When we're worried or anxious, we don't usually have joy and peace. And it makes me wonder, in those moments when I realize that I don't have a lot of peace in my life, when I'm not filled with joy, am I really trusting in the Lord for today? Am I really trusting in the Lord for tomorrow? Am I really trusting my future to the Lord? Am I trusting my family to the Lord? Am I trusting my present circumstances to the Lord? And most of the time, when I'm not filled with joy and peace, the answer is no. I'm not trusting. In Luke 12, verses 22 to 34, we're going to hear Jesus address the issue of how to live a life of joy and peace, how to find hope in it. Luke 12, starting in verse 22. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you will wear. The life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
What do you hear? Do you hear how to live in joy and peace and hope instead of worry and anxiety and stress? Years ago, I was given one of those. It was popular at the time, those little plaques with the Billy Bob Big Mouth Bass plastered on the front of it. And you turned it on, and it would start singing, "Don't worry, be happy." Jesus isn't saying, "Don't worry, be happy." That's not the answer. He's describing for us that we don't have to worry because we base our hope on a God who provides for us. This is a story that's much more about God and not about us. We listen to it and start going, "How do I stop worrying?" How to stop worrying is to fix your eyes on the God who says, "I will provide for you." Consider the ravens, a bird in the unclean bird list. This is the lowlife of the bird world. And you know what God provides to the raven? They don't have crops. They don't have barns. but God keeps them fed. Or how about the lilies? They don't shop on Amazon. They don't buy cloth. They don't sew it for themselves. They're going to be thrown in the fire because they're just grass. And yet, they're dressed more beautifully than the splendor of Solomon. Now, if you could talk to a raven, that's a different song. If I could talk, no, sorry. If you could talk to a raven or a lily and say, how do you feel about that? Which you can't. I wonder if they say, I'm at peace with that. I'm not worried. God's providing. That's not a don't worry, be happy. That's not a, if you're a Christian, you'll just be blessed with God's favor all the time. You'll never have troubles. Just go read the Matthew version of this, and at the end he says, today's got troubles of its own. Christian hope is not a Pollyanna, pie-in-the-sky naivete. Christian hope is deeply rooted in a God who provides over and over and over and over. My hope, our hope, is built on the fact that God shows himself to be faithful over and over and over, and God provides over and over and over. And that provision, comes in hundreds of thousands of ways, directly and indirectly. I see a lot of people really focusing in areas of like, will God help me pay my bills? But I just, even yesterday, I'm just thinking about yesterday. Yesterday, through the efforts of a bunch of volunteers through Society of St. Stephen's, we handed out 330 bags to people who are experiencing food insecurity. And also yesterday, there was a group out helping people to be fed at Wide Oak Apartment. And one of the groups that was out there was our girls from Freedom Place, who are not only providing something, but they were being provided something, the blessing of serving. I walked into the gym, and Hank Bray was in there, and I was just saying, you know, one of the coolest parts of this whole activity is that we have these community partners that want to come and join us in these efforts. And I'm so thankful that we found a way, even with masks and all the things we need to do, to help them to come in and do that. And he said, yeah, because I really wasn't anticipating on Friday when the group from Insperity came, that they all came into the room, and I just realized in that moment they haven't seen each other in the same room since March. They kept their masks on, but I'm not going to swear about their social distancing. God provided them a moment. They came to volunteer to help somebody out. And what God provided them was a moment for them to reconnect, and it happened with the women from Kingwood Women's Club too. I mean, I do not take lightly the fact that this morning God provided me with this chance to share what he put on my heart with you. Every day God provides his love. God provides his forgiveness to us for all those moments we mess up, for all those moments that we fall down, for all those moments that we fall short. God is providing to us over and over. God sees us. God knows us. God gives us value and worth and purpose. And every day, God provides us with the love and the strength that we need, no matter what we're facing in life. And also, I was looking at these verses in Luke chapter 12. It was cool to be reminded that these words that Jesus is sharing, these are words to the disciples. These aren't words that are being offered to people who have their security based on tons of money in the bank or a lucrative retirement portfolio. That's the story before, actually. Go read that one. That one's about the rich fool who has a bumper crop, and instead of helping out and giving thanks to God and helping his neighbors, he says, hey, I can eat, drink, and be merry. yeah, God had different plans. Go back and read that one on your own time. This one is told to the disciples, the common people like you and me, the ones who've walked away from their livelihood, who've walked away from their fishing nets, who walked away from their tax collecting to follow Jesus, because their needs are not financial abundance. Their needs are basic food. Their needs are, where are we staying tonight, Jesus? Their basic needs are clothing. And Jesus is saying, disciples, followers, don't be defined by your worries about your basic need. God knows what you need. Don't be defined by that. He's calling his disciples to change their focus and be defined by something entirely different than how much money they have or how much money they don't have. He wants them to be defined by kingdom living. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Seek God's kingdom. The kingdom that God has already pleased to give you. Start investing in the kingdom. Start investing in those around you. Start sharing the good news that a God who loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross so that you and I might have eternal life is the one that's promising and giving and has pleasure in giving us that eternal promise that we can face and place our future hope on. This call to not worry, this call to live out of the providence and provision of God, this is a call for you and me to give fully of ourselves, to pursue a life that is totally based in God and his kingdom. A kingdom that is filled with joy and peace and hope, not worry and anxiety and greed. A kingdom where we are so moved by how much God provides us that we provide for others. A kingdom where we are so forgiven that we forgive others, where we are so loved that we love others, that we have received so much grace that we offer that grace to others. For those of you who don't know, I have 8 children. Yes, that's the number between 7 and 9. You thought Katie Fleck's picture was crazy? Now, 3 of them are already out of the house, so I only have 5 kids at the house. Now, any sane, logical person would say that's still a lot of kids in your house, and that would be right. The problem is, as of the end of August, there are 15,919 children in the state of Texas alone who are in foster care and looking for a forever home. 15,919 who are wondering why their own parents, why their own family, why no one will say, "You are worth me adopting you." 15,919 children who I wonder lay awake at night going, "Where is God? Why won't he provide for me?" Now, I know I can't be a forever home for 15,919 kids, but I maybe can for 1 more, or 2 more. Does adopting a child impact my monetary future? You bet it does. Does it change my retirement plans and my world travel desires? Of course it will. But that's nothing compared to giving a child a future and offering the hope of Jesus Christ. Not asking all of us in this room to do that, but he's asking all of us to find a place where his extravagant love can be expressed through us. One final concept that I want to share today that comes out of this conversation. Remember earlier I talked about the check that I wrote first, right? Because I've just learned in my life that I want to give God my best. I don't want to give God out of my leftovers. I want to give God first. Because when I don't, that's just a lack of faith in God. It's just not filled with hope or peace or joy. Now, in the Old Testament, God asked his people to offer their first fruits to him. That means when the crops started to come in, that they gave the first fruits, trusting God that the rest of the crop was going to come in. They weren't supposed to harvest all the crop, pay all their bills, see what was left over, and then give God a little bit at the end. They were called and taught to give to God first as a way of showing trust in him and giving thanks that all that he provides for them. They had hope, confident expectation that God would follow through and provide. I believe that a kingdom-focused life involves bringing our best to God out of the trust and hope that God will provide. We're going to sing a hymn in just a moment that's going to ring true with those words, and I hope you pay attention because it moves from us singing about bringing our first fruits to God, but then also God saying, if you trust me, then you'll follow me. Because in world and need now summons us to labor, love, and give, to make our life an offering to God that all may live. Are you and I willing to offer our best to God? Our first fruits. Do we trust him enough, really trust him enough, to follow him with joy and peace? A world in need summons us to labor, love, and give, to make our life an offering to God so that all may live, so that all may be free, so that all may be valued and respected, so that all may find peace and joy and hope, so that all may be loved and find the forgiveness that God offers us. Won't you join me in giving your first, giving your best, being the best you that you can be, shining the light of Christ so that all the world can see. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we're so thankful for the way you love us and provide for us. We're so thankful that this is never a message of how can I just do it better, but how can I let you do it better through me? And God, may however we respond in singing and in words and actions, all be for your glory. Through Christ our Lord.